He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ today. We're glad that you have chosen to join us for this week's sermon of the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene. God's Word is full of timeless truths that are relevant to our lives today. Here's this week's message.
The Hanging of the Green service is always kind of a fun, unique, different service. It just kind of serves as a reminder for why we often do the kinds of things that we do, the symbolism that it's often had that sometimes gets forgotten. But as I thought through how am I going to approach Advent season this year, how am I going to look at a way that we can talk about this, and this idea that, I mean, it's a word we don't only talk about ever, really, in church during this time, because even outside of church, now is Christmas season. And we just talk about Christmas. We don't talk about Advent, this time of coming, of anticipation and excitement. Even though all the children are starting to get excited as they turn in their Christmas lists and they start looking at the commercials of all the different toys and excitement of what they could possibly look forward to. So there is still this season of anticipation. And I almost think, how do we talk about this idea that we expect and understand that Jesus is indeed coming? And I just, for whatever reason, found myself going back to that memory of a child, of remembering that when something was coming soon, that it got me excited. I started to look forward to its release, or I started to look forward to when it was going to come. So I want to show that real quick again and share an illustration about this. Let's show that graphic one more time.
Coming soon.
There we go. When I would hear that, I would say, I want to see whatever that is. I'd hear that coming soon to video or VHS or to a theater near you or whatever it was. Almost always, it was after my family had rented out a video. Every now and again, my parents would say, hey, anyone want, we'll stop at what is now defunct. We'll stop at Blockbuster. We'll walk the aisles there. And just like now, if you're scrolling through what you want to see, you can kind of sort by category. If you're watching Netflix or Amazon Prime or something, the new releases or the action or the fantasy, you would actually walk through those aisles. You walk through the new release aisle, or you'd walk through the nearly new, it's been out in the last year, or you'd walk through the children's section, whatever it is. And in my childhood, we lived on an Air Force base. We went to church. We lived on Minot Air Force Base, and we went to church in Minot, First Church of the Nazarene. And so often coming back from church, my parents say, hey, anyone want to rent a video to take, because we're passing the Blockbuster, and then we'll take that into the base with us, and we'll have a couple movies to watch during the week. And so she'd let us go, and we'd stop there. And oftentimes what would happen when we kind of walked those aisles and looked through what we wanted, it would take forever. Besides the fact that there was four kids, all of us couldn't agree on what we wanted to watch, there were so many titles and so many different things. And how do you pick one or even just two movies? How do you know what to get? So we would just walk. Forever, it seems. And if I picked mine out right away and everyone else was taking forever, I got so impatient. And so I decided to start making a list so that whenever we walked in, I would know, I could just refer to my list and be like, oh yeah, I wanted to see this movie. I could go find it, I could get it, and I could be done. And I found this list many years later. I started making a list, and it filled. Like, it was just a simple, like, sheet of paper. It had two columns on it. I had filled that front page and started going on the second page. And one year, I found that again. I had come back from college, and I was cleaning out my room because I knew I wasn't going to be coming home for breaks much longer, because I had met Jen, and we were going to be getting married. And so, but I was cleaning out my room, and I found this old folded-up piece of paper. I rolled it up. I'm like, this was my video list from when I was a kid of all the movies I wanted to see. And I looked through that, and all the movies I still hadn't seen. And as I looked at it, I found myself thinking, wow, this is pretty much like every preview I ever saw. like there was really no rhyme or reason to why I wanted to see it, except for I'd seen it after that tune. And after, just after that advertisement. But I had prepared a list in anticipation, expectation of the arrival of that show, knowing, hey, I want to be able to see that. I want to make sure I'm ready for it. And I prepared that list in anticipation of that. And looking back on that brought all kinds of childhood memories back to me. This passage of Scripture I want to read for you today is about how do we prepare, how do we make ourselves ready, how do we anticipate that if Christ is coming, how are we preparing ourselves for that? And this is a season where we remember that there was a season which they were expecting that Jesus would come, that a Messiah would come. And they did not know it would be Jesus at that time, but they were expecting that God would come. But just as Jesus came and lived among us and ascended into heaven, he said he would return. And so this is also a season where we remember that just as Christ came once before, that he is returning and that we are in a season of expectation. And we can look forward to when the Messiah comes and indeed all the promises that the Messiah will bring will be fulfilled and our world will be shaped and changed in accordance with God's will. But let's look at Matthew chapter 24, verse 36 to 44, because it is a description, it's a warning, it sets up this scene of the return of Christ. But about that day or hour when he returns, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day our Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come in an hour when you do not expect him. Who then is the faithful? We'll just stop there. You must be ready because you don't know what hour to expect him. He tells this story of saying, hey, be ready. Expect that Christ is coming, and it is at a time that you don't know. No one knows except the Father. And I kind of love to kind of spell out those details. I think we like to know, I want to know what it's going to look like just before he comes. I want to know exactly what those details are. What are the hints? What are the clues? Can you give me a piece of what that's going to look like? And I kind of wish I could, but in some ways I'm glad I can't, because I don't think the Bible is like a big puzzle. My mom used to love doing puzzles. You find the piece, they're cut funny ways, they have funny shapes, and you kind of get them to match, and all of a sudden, boom, you have the whole big picture. But the Bible is much more of a story and not a puzzle book, so I can't just kind of piece together things. But there are, nonetheless, some words even in here that help us kind of know a little bit about it. He says, the end is going to be like the days of Noah. In the days of Noah, he says, people were eating and drinking, they were marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they didn't know anything until the flood came and took those people away. And now in verse 39, when it says it took them all away, it's those who were eating and drinking and marrying that are taken away. And so Matthew is using this Noah story and saying, just like in the days of Noah, so in the same way, God is going to take away from some. And I found myself thinking, wait a minute, this is different than the way I've ever heard it before. Because normally when I've heard this verse before, the people who are taken away are those whom God loves. But if it's a lot like the story of Noah, it's the people who didn't know anything about God who were taken away. And so what's happening in this story, as it seems, is he's suggesting that maybe God is very much interested in the world he has created for his people, and what he's taking away are those who don't belong and those who don't know God. And so I found myself saying, well, would Matthew, since this is found in the book of Matthew, would Matthew say anything more about this? And if it came from the words of Jesus, maybe it would be even, maybe it would carry even a little bit more weight. And I found myself going to Matthew chapter 13, and this is kind of the most kind of puzzle piecing I want to do, but I went to Matthew chapter 13, verse 24 to 30, and there's this parable about the weeds, where he says, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat, and then he went away, and the wheat sprouted and formed heads, but the weeds also appeared. And the owner's servant came to him and said, sir, didn't you sow good seed in the field? Where then did all these weeds come from?
And an enemy did this, he replied. And the servants asked him, well, you want us to go and pull them up? And he said, no, no, because while you're pulling up the weeds, you'll uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I'll tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be bundled, then gather the wheat. The first to be collected is the weeds, not the wheat. And I think in this story of Matthew 24, that's what's happening here too. The first to be collected, the first to be taken away is the weeds. It's kind of this eye-opening, well, it certainly at least coincides with the story of Noah. This idea that watch out because there is a time coming where there will be a taking away and you don't want to be caught unaware. He gives an example of one who like keeps watch of a thief who might come. There was a time when we were living in our house in South Portland, and it was after church, and it was Sunday evening, and we're exhausted and we're tired, and I'm sitting in our music room, and I'm sitting on our soft chair, and I'm reading, which really means I'm getting ready to take a nap. I'm really tired, and my wife comes out and says, I think I hear something in the garage. Tim, you want to go take a look at it? And I said, well, I haven't seen the cat in a while. I think the cat just probably knocked something over. And it's probably nothing. It's probably just the cat. She said, okay. And she went back in the room and everything was fine. The next day, go in the garage and lo and behold, we were missing tools. Our garage had been robbed while we were in the house. My wife had heard that they had knocked something over and actually told me about it, but I wasn't keeping watch. I had no clue that someone at that time would be breaking into my house. I had no clue that someone in daylight with a car parked in the garage or parked in the driveway would actually break into someone's garage to take out their tools. I just was caught unaware and had no clue at all, and I blamed it on the cat. And so Jesus says, if you knew, you would keep watch. If you had any clue this would happen, you wouldn't let this happen. And so, in fact, someone once said this to me. I was telling this story to someone, and someone said, well, it's probably a good thing for them you didn't check, right? Someone breaking into your house. I said, I don't know if it's a good thing for them or a good thing for me, because I'd like to think I could stop them, but they're in the garage where all my tools are. I might have been the one in danger. And so but he's saying, if only you knew when something would be taken away, you would keep watch and make sure it wasn't. You would make sure you were ready for that moment. And so again, the illustration continues. We are to keep watch because Jesus is going to come back. And all that is weeds in this world, all that is wrong in this world is going to be taken away. And we want to be ready for when he comes to be able to receive what God is going to do and wants to do in our life and in our world. And if we had opportunity, if we knew, without a doubt, we would. And because we don't know is not an excuse not to be ready. For if I had been ready, I'd like to think there were some things in that garage I would still have that were important to me. In my first church, I had a gentleman who wanted to go golfing with me. And I didn't own golf clubs or anything like that, a rookie. And I'm like, okay, I'll do this. But, you know, it seems like an expensive hobby. We went to a pawn shop. I got some simple clubs. But he says, I'm going to make you a driver. I said, you can do that? I said, yes, I'm going to make one for you. And so he had me stand, and he took measurements from my shoulders down to my feet to get a club that would be just the right size. He had me pick out a club head, and he made this driver for me, and that was one of the things that was stolen that, you know, had this kind of like sentimental value back to this friendship and in my first pastorate. And so like those are moments where I'm like, man, I really wish I had kept watch. I really wish I had been ready. And now since then, like, I'm on a little bit more heightened alert. Like, once that happens to you, it changes your outlook, right? It changes everything. You're like, you're that much more paranoid about the kinds of things that you have that you don't want to lose. And so he's saying, we are in a season where we, even if we don't know what's going to happen or when, that we are preparing ourselves and making ourselves ready for when it comes. It's one of those where the church, one of the things the church has done, and kind of in some ways done poorly, is they've said coming soon for so long that people kind of say, well, I don't know that he's actually coming anytime soon. I mean, it's been 2,000 years. And so we've kind of like created this kind of apathy, if you will, this kind of like, well, maybe.
But this idea of prepare yourself, because when Christ comes, whenever that is, if that's in our lifetime or lifetime to come, that we would know that we are ready when He comes, because God, when He comes, comes like a thief in the night, but what He does is He welcomes us into His family. And what He does is He welcomes us into His plan and to be ready to live with Him. And so, like, here we are, we've just passed this Thanksgiving season, right? And we got ready to have company come over. Unless, of course, we were going to another person's house, then the great thing was they got to prepare for us to come over, and we got to do a little bit less preparation. But when we have people coming over, right, what do? We make sure the house is spotless for guests. We've been showing our house, getting on the market as we were moving to the parsonage. And I'll tell you what, to show the house, we don't know who's coming in. It's strangers, and they're looking all over the place. They're like, we might want to make our home here. We might want to move in. And so we clean, and we clean, and we pick up, and we are on our children much more than we ever normally are about, you make your bed, you clean up, because strangers are coming. People are coming who we don't even know. I mean, when you get to know them, then you kind of relax a little bit, right? You know, the first time, everything's clean. The second time, we clean up. The third time, you're like, this is how I live. And so, you know, as you get to know them, it's like, hey, this is who we are. But that's what we do. And so in the same way, as maybe we did as we got ready for Thanksgiving, as we do when we have people come over, if Christ is coming back, whether that's in this lifetime or not, whether we're going to see Him in the near future or after our death when Christ returns, we want to be ready to receive Him. We want to be ready to dwell with Him. And so there is indeed in our lives our own kind of cleanup, if you will, our own kind of, I want to make sure I am ready for when Christ comes, because I don't know the hour and I don't know what that will look like. And so to look for Christ, what we do, I think, is a couple things very similar to that story I just shared. And that is, on the one hand, we get to say with God, God, this is who I am. Yeah, it comes with flaws, it comes with messes, it comes with hang-ups, it comes with issues. Things may not be perfect, but I've done everything I can to make it ready for you. Like our house is a house we have loved, is a house we've put a lot of work into, a lot of sweat into. We've done some improvements, but it's not perfect. It still has all kinds of hiccups and things that need to be done. But yet, we did everything we could to make sure that someone else could say, I want to know that I could live here, I could be welcomed here. And I think what we want to do with Jesus in our life as well is say, God, here I am with my hiccups, here I am with my problems, here I am with those issues. But to say, but I'm also working on them as well. And I also want you to be able to have a place where you could dwell in my life and be Lord in my life. I think that really is what holiness is supposed to be about. Here in the Church of Nazarene, we care about this term called holiness, which is this idea that God is going to continue to do a work in our lives. It's not this, I've got it all together, everything's perfect. It's, God, here's this life that I want to work on, and I'm going to trust your Spirit to do that work in me and keep on working with this. And I'm going to do everything I can to make this body, this temple, this person whom you have created, something that would be pleasing to you, and to know that you are a God who accepts me as I am with whatever messes and issues there are, but knowing that I'm going to let you help me with this work that needs to take place. And so in this passage of Scripture, as we talk about the coming soon of Jesus Christ, talk about what He's doing, I want to ask, are we making that room for Jesus in our life? Are we inviting Him in a place where He is able to abide in our lives? That we could be able to say to Him, here's who I am, but Lord, I want to make myself ready for you. Is there rearranging or cleanup that needs to take place in our life? Are we willing to work with God and say, hey, I just want to be ready for when you come, because this is going to, that when you come, this is going to be great. This is going to be much better than the feast we just celebrated a couple of days ago. This is going to be the family of God gathered for eternity. This is the big one. Let us make room for Jesus in our life. That some preparation will need to take place. Some practices will need to take place in our life. But to be willing to invite His Spirit in to do that cleanup, to do that work in our lives. And by the grace of God, what little we might be doing and inviting Him into our lives, I believe will lead to some great victories as we await the ultimate victory over sin and death, which the return of Christ does. In this season, as we talk about how we prepare for the coming of Christ, I think there are ways in which are very, very important in our lives. Of course, worship and coming before God and honoring Him as Lord is paramount. I think practices in prayer, in Scripture, and being willing to say, I'm willing to listen to other voices to help inform who I am and how I come to know God is going to be so important. And if we in this season can say, I want to commit to some prayer practice, and I want to commit to saying, okay, I'm not going to neglect the Word and spend some time in that, that we might find ourselves changing and being shaped to be the kind of people who will be ready to welcome Jesus into this world and into our lives. And we will find that no matter what happens when that day comes, no matter who is taken or what those details look like, that we will find we have been ready because we have prepared in our hearts and in our lives all that is necessary and all that we can give before God and say, here I am. And we've allowed Him to begin that work in us, and we'll be ready to receive Christ when He comes. This season, I hope, as we anticipate and prepare for Christmas among families, we'll be preparing in our lives as well for the return of Christ. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come to You today, thankful for entering into a season of anticipation, a season of recognizing that You are indeed on the way. And Heavenly Father, the very scripture we have read says we don't get to know the details that only You, Father, know. But Heavenly Father, I'm thankful that You have Your Spirit dwell in our presence and in our midst, that You do the cleaning work that is necessary, that You do that You live in our midst and help us out. And Heavenly Father, I pray that You would draw us closer to You and to Your Son, Jesus Christ. He is the one we will be celebrating, and we continue to celebrate this season because of what He has done for us to draw us closer to You. And so, Heavenly Father, help us, Lord, to anticipate His return and to make ourselves ready and put ourselves in a place where we can receive Him. And Lord, I know that this is possible through Your grace, through what You can do in our lives. And so, Heavenly Father, we just put ourselves before You today, saying, Lord, here we are. Lord, You know where the nicks are. You know where things have been knocked around. But Lord, here we are. And we trust, Lord, if there's work to be done, Lord, that we will let You do that work. And Lord, we will also work with You and say, Lord, just help us to be the people You have called us to be. Help us, Heavenly Father, to be ready for when You come. And Lord, I thank You that while we are here and while we follow You, that You are the God who's always with us, supporting us along the way. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. We hope this sermon has encouraged you with the gospel of Jesus. More sermons are available online at our website, capenazarene.org. May God bless you abundantly as you serve Him today.